of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Psalm 33, let's start in verse 10. It says, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." So this is our key verse this morning, verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on the earth, He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." And then Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Let's pray. Father, we ask You this morning that through the truth of Your word and the truth of some history of our nation we're going to consider today, I pray, Father, that You would emblazon the reality of where we are as a nation upon our conscience, and that You would help us to see that our only hope is to turn back to You. Father, our nation is headed down a dangerous path, and we're in trouble, and we need You. And we come as Your church, and we bow before You, and we ask for Your help. I pray, Father, that You would once again turn the hearts of this nation towards You. We pray that a revival would take place across this land. We ask that it would begin with us, in our own hearts, in our own homes, and in our own church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past weekend, we celebrated Independence Day as a nation. It all began on July 4th, 1776, when 56 brave men signed a document we all now know as the Declaration of Independence. But I want to share a truth with you today that is not told in our country anymore. At the very same moment that our founding fathers were declaring their independence from Britain, they were declaring our dependence upon God. And I want to say that again because that is vitally important to everything we're going to say today and next week. At the very same moment that our founding fathers were declaring our independence from Britain, they were also declaring our absolute dependence upon God. And I want to speak to you today on a series that I've entitled Our Declaration of Dependence. There are those today who say that America was never a Christian nation, that it was not founded upon God or the Bible. And I know that this message today is a departure from what we normally do. I know it's different from what we normally do. There might be some who would say the church has no business talking about these things. I would submit to you that one of the reasons our country is in the mess it is in is because the church has been silent on these things. The separation of church and state was never intended to keep the church out of government. It was intended to keep the government out of the church. And I'm going to share some things with you today, and I say all of them without apology to anyone. We get a lot of emails from our podcast and our website. Most of them are good. Some of them are horrendous. They're awful, hateful. And I would say to anyone here or anyone listening online, if you disagree with this and you want to send hateful emails, send them on. I will not apologize for what I'm going to say. Some people, when they get to know me, they mistake meekness for weakness. Don't ever make that mistake. As I was saying before I got a little derailed there, there are those revisionists, atheists, and God-haters who are rewriting the history of this great nation so that current and future generations will never know the true beginnings of this country. Well, I'm going to debunk that myth for you this morning, if you'll allow me to. Let me just share some things with you. I hope you will discipline your mind to listen to this. What you're hearing is the truth. On July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, and in that document stated their belief in the Creator God. Before signing it, they called the signers to a time of fasting and prayer to the God of the Bible. George Washington, our first president, in his inaugural address said, quote, "The blessings and favor of heaven can never be expected on a nation that discards the eternal rules of order and right which God himself has ordained in his word, the Holy Scriptures." John Adams, the second president, said, quote, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be." Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, I'm not going through all the presidents, by the way, because we'll run out of good quotes. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ." John Quincy Adams said, quote, "The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said, quote, "The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. Happy are they who are enabled to obey them in all situations." Alexander Hamilton, another signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, quote, "I have carefully examined the evidence of the Christian religion, and if I was sitting as a juror upon its authenticity, I would unhesitatingly give my verdict in its favor. I can prove its truth as clearly as any proposition ever submitted to the mind of man." Patrick Henry, the man who gave us the famous quote, what is it? "Give me liberty or give me death." Yes, our history books keep that one in, but here's one of Patrick Henry's quotes they will never tell you. "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said, quote, "It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. No human society has ever been able to maintain both order and freedom, both cohesiveness and liberty, apart from the moral precepts of the Christian religion. Should our republic ever forget this fundamental precept of governance, we will then be surely doomed. President Woodrow Wilson, in his famous address entitled The Bible and Progress, stated, quote, "America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture." Even back to Christopher Columbus in 1504, he wrote about his reason for setting forth to discover new land. He said, quote, "I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands." The purpose of the pilgrims in coming to America was to establish a political commonwealth governed by biblical standards. The Mayflower Compact, probably our oldest official document, states that they had come, quote, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." The Plymouth Charter states that the colony was established to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion for the glory of God Almighty. The State of Delaware's charter defined that their purpose was to further propagate the Holy Gospel. They also required office holders to take an oath affirming their Christian faith before they could become active in the office to which they were elected. The State of Virginia's charter secured the right for people to live in Christian peace and instructed the people of Virginia to propagate the Christian religion to people who yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. The State of Rhode Island's compact stated, quote, "We submit our persons, our lives, and our estates unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Prior to the Civil War, 90% of all of America's college presidents were preachers of the gospel. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William and Mary, Columbia were all founded by Christians with the intent to educate students for Christ. Harvard University's purpose was stated as, quote, "that every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main ends of his life and studies, to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ as the foundation of all knowledge and learning, and see that only the Lord giveth wisdom, to let everyone seriously set himself by prayer to seek Christ Jesus as Lord and Master." Even Harvard's original seal stated these words, "Truth for Christ and the Church." Reverend Jonathan Dickinson, the first president of Princeton, said, quote, "Cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." Columbia University stated, "The chief things that are aimed for this college are to teach and gauge the children to know God and Jesus Christ and to love and serve Him in all sobriety." Not only did Congress in 1782 approve the use of Bibles in schools, but it used tax dollars to pay for those Bibles to be placed in all of our schools. America's first school book was called the New England Primer. On the cover, it had the Lord's Prayer. It taught the alphabet in theological verse. A, "In Adam's fall, we sinned all." B, "Heaven to find, the Bible mind." C, "Christ crucified, for sinners died." Now, just because you're not hearing this on the 6 o'clock news or reading it in our history books does not mean that it's not true. What I just shared with you are some of the facts of the founding of this nation. You'd have to go much further than that to remove the history of God completely from our country. You'd have to take a sandblaster to Washington, D.C., and most of our nation's capitals and the monuments and memorials scattered across this country to remove all references from God and the Bible and Jesus Christ. A Bible verse from Leviticus is engraved around the top of the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Built into the top of the U.S. Supreme Court building is a statue of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. At the Jefferson Memorial is an inscription with the words, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" In the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, there are four paintings hanging on the wall. In those four paintings, you have two prayer meetings, a Bible study, and a baptism. Even on our currency are the words emblazoned, "In God we trust." Now, I'm not suggesting that all the signers of the Declaration of Independence or our other founding fathers were Christians. And nor am I suggesting that all of those who were Christians were perfect men. But a person would have to be blind to not see that this nation was founded upon the God of the Bible. Our founding fathers recognized and boldly acknowledged our absolute dependence on God. They wove these principles into the very fabric of our nation. And yet everywhere we look, we see God is being removed not only from our past, but from our present. As I said, history books are being rewritten to remove all references to these things I just shared. All references to God and Christ are being systematically stripped from our culture. Prayer and Bible is no longer allowed in our schools. And I'm telling you, my wife is a teacher in a public school, and she can, some of you are too, and she can testify to the consequences of that. She has students get in her face and say, "Why don't you make me do my homework?" And I had one super spiritual Christian say to her, "Why are you wasting your time teaching in public schools when you could be teaching the minds of young Christian kids in a Christian school? Are you kidding me? The light needs to be shined in the darkest places." Students cannot mention Jesus Christ in their commencement speech. As a matter of fact, 2-3 weeks ago, I heard on the news driving in my car that a student had been, was told he would not be permitted to make his speech if he did not cut his reference to God and Christ out of his speech. We can't even say Merry Christmas anymore without offending people because the word Christ is in Christmas and people get all bent out of shape. We can talk about Islam, we can talk about Buddha, we can talk about Muhammad, we can talk about any religion we want to, but when the name Jesus Christ is mentioned in this country, the veins on people's necks begin to pop out and they get furious. And just as a side note, that's one more proof to me that this Bible is real, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. I'll save that sermon for a few weeks from now, maybe. People are free in this country to say anything they want to say about anything except for us Christians. If we dare say not our own opinions, but simply quote what the Bible says about homosexuality, it is labeled as hate speech. And let me just add this in parentheses. If our current president has his way, he will make it a hate crime. And that's not my opinion. You can find that on whitehouse.gov. According to his own words in a speech he made to the LGBT community, that is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, he assured them that he would get a hate crime law passed for anyone who still holds to, quote, worn arguments and old attitudes, end quote. Our country has already started to dismantle the most basic building block of any nation, the family, established by God himself in Genesis chapter 2 as being one man and one woman. The definition of biblical marriage and family is being redefined before our very eyes to whatever we feel like it should be. Christians who were once the very foundation and core of this country are now being pushed to the fringes. My dad has told me of a time when he was a boy, when there was a general respect in this country for God and the Bible and the church. Listen, even by unbelievers, there was a general respect. He's told me that as a boy, he remembers going down to the little barber shop with his dad on Saturday mornings. And it was very much like the old black and white Andy Griffith show. It really was like that. And the men would gather there on Saturday mornings and sit around and talk. And my dad, as a little boy, said he remembers, even before he was saved, seeing some of the men in that barbershop who did not believe in God and did not care anything about Christ. They would tell off-color jokes and talk about things that weren't appropriate. But when the local pastor walked into the barbershop, those men stood to their feet out of respect. Those days are gone. Now, pastor is one of the least desirable occupations in the world. I must be an idiot for getting into this. What's wrong with me? Those days of that general respect, just a general respect, not a belief in even, just a respect for God and the Bible and the church. Those days have now been replaced with Christians being ridiculed everywhere you turn, made to look like kooks and idiots for believing in the Bible. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Our nation has forgotten God. We don't pray because we think we're capable and sufficient within ourselves. We ignore the Bible because we think we have wisdom to operate our lives apart from God. And just like ancient Israel, we say, let us shake off the shackles of the Word of God. Let us determine our own destiny. Let us decide what is right and what is wrong. And as a result, our nation is in moral decline, the likes of which we have never seen before. The United States now leads the world in violent crimes, imprisonment, divorce, abortion, sexually transmitted diseases, teen suicide, illegal drug use, and pornography. According to the statistics from the FBI, there is a murder in this country every 24 minutes. There's a rape every 7 minutes. There's a robbery every 68 seconds. There's an aggravated assault every 51 seconds. And there's some sort of violent crime every 27 seconds. Since 1960, there's been a 560% increase in violent crime in America. There's been a 419% increase in illegitimate births. There's been a quadrupling in divorce rates, a tripling of children living in single-parent homes, a 200% increase in teenage suicide, all while our country was spending itself into bankruptcy and falling asleep at the wheel. Folks, I'm telling you, our nation is in trouble. We need to wake up as a country, and we need to return to God. Republicans can't solve this problem. Democrats can't solve this problem. God in heaven is the only one who can save our nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But cursed is the nation who forgets God. And we've done far worse than just forgetting God. We have forced Him out of every corner of our society. God could easily be saying to America what He said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 65, starting in verse 1. Listen to these words. Listen to these words. If you didn't know that this was written to Israel, this passage of Scripture could be tailor-made for America. God said, to a nation that did not call on My name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long I have held out My hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke Me to My face. God said in Jeremiah 2:32, He asked this piercing question, does a woman forget her jewelry? Does a bride forget her wedding ornaments? Yet My people have forgotten Me days without number. America is following the same path Israel did before God destroyed them. I'm telling you, folks, you study the Old Testament, and the patterns, the cyclical patterns that you see throughout the entire Old Testament are exactly the same patterns that we see taking place in our country. Exactly the same. Historians tell us that there are 8 steps to the rise and fall of a nation. This is bone-chilling. This was not compiled by a Christian organization. This was compiled by historians. Listen to this. The 8 steps to the rise and fall of a nation. They go from slavery to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance. And then the tide turns in a downward direction. They go from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to slavery. You study your history books. That is the path that we are on. Phil, you're getting worked up and you're a little overexcited about this. My friends, I'm telling you, I am sharing the bare bones of what I wanted to share with you today because of time's sake. If we do not understand what is happening in our country, God help us. We see this pattern, as I said, throughout the Old Testament. We see the goodness and the blessings of God poured out on a nation. And then we see God warning those people and begging them, please don't forget me when you begin to enjoy all of my blessings. And then we see the nation doing that very thing, forgetting God. And God calls them and calls them and calls them to repentance, but they're obstinate and hard-headed. And God brings judgment and destroys them. Turn to one more place, Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was the command, the speech that was given to Israel before they crossed over into the land that God promised to them. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 6. Listen to these words. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Boy, does that sound like the abundance and blessings of America. Verse 10, here comes the caution. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied. That sounds like America again. Verse 14, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. And some say, well, that's only for Israel. Read verse 20. You will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Just like ancient Israel, America has been richly blessed by God. We have a beautiful land with abundant resources. It is a land of prosperity and opportunity. We've seen more advancements in science, medicine, and technology than any other country in the history of the world. We have freedoms that other people only dream about. Hey, we're not sitting in a concentration camp this morning. We're not in prison because we're Christians, yet. We have the freedom to get in our car and drive anywhere we want to in this country. We can start a church whenever we want to. We can pray whenever we want to. We can come and go as we please. We can work wherever we like. We have freedoms here that people around the world are envious of. And I know that because I've lived all over the world. We put fences up in America to keep people out. Some other countries put fences up to keep people in. People are dying to get into this country. We have more churches in America than any country on the planet. We've sent more missionaries and more money to advance the gospel than any other nation. Even with all its problems, listen, America is still the greatest nation on earth. And I don't mean any offense to anybody else from any other country. All the abundant blessings and freedoms that we enjoy, we have them because they were given to us by God. But just like Israel, we've forgotten God. And we've said our power and our strength have gotten us these things. We don't need God. We've convinced ourselves that America is what made America great. We've ignored the fact that it was God who made this nation great. Listen to these words of President Abraham Lincoln. Quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplies and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtues of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Can you imagine hearing those words coming from a president in our day and age? And as a result of all that, we are facing the judgment of God. I tell you, if God has judged every other nation that turned their backs on Him, what makes us think we will be the exception? We're fools if we think that. Galatians 6:7 is still as true today as it ever was. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow. Psalm 9 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's a lot of bad news for one sermon, isn't it? But listen, I want to tell you, there's still hope for America and any nation in this mess. There's still hope. God is still a faithful God. He never abandons those who trust in Him. But we must remember, we left God. God didn't leave us. That's the problem. But even so, God has promised to anyone who turns their hearts back to Him that He will save them and bless them once again. The verse we read at the beginning was true for Israel. It was true for all other nations, and it is still true for America. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." What are we to do about this? What is our hope? Where do we turn? Where do we start? Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to come back next week to hear the solution to the problem. As Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Time just won't permit me to go into all that today. But I will tell you, the Bible has given us the solution. And unlike anything else on this planet, there's one thing you can know for sure about the promises of God. If we follow them, they are guaranteed to work. OxyClean might work, might not. The latest exercise machine might make you look like a supermodel, might not. We have a lot of things that are guaranteed in our world, but they're not really guaranteed. I'm telling you, folks, the promises of God are guaranteed to work. But the ball is in our court. God is waiting for us to turn back to Him. And heaven help us if we as Christians sit around doing nothing but taking pot shots at our government and not doing anything about it. You know where the changing of a nation begins. It doesn't begin in the White House. It doesn't begin in the courthouse. It begins in your house. That's where it begins, and my house. And as I said at the beginning, I believe that The church has been silent for far too long on some of these issues. But I believe as a church, as Christians, we need to be doing more than just criticizing and complaining. We need to look to the Word of God to find out the formula that He has given us for guaranteed success. And if we would but follow it, it could be said once again of America, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want so much right now to just go ahead and get into the verses for next week that talk about how we can be healed as a nation. But God, I pray that as we have come to this stopping point today and left it on, well, a not so good note, I pray that you would just use that this week to allow the seriousness of this message to take root in our hearts and to birth something in us, a sense of urgency, a sense of responsibility, a sense of dependence on God. Father, without you, we are nothing, and we can do nothing without you. And I stand here this morning with my church family, and we declare together and admit our dependence upon you. God, forgive us for the times that we have lived our lives like a little child pulling her hand away from her mommy, wanting to walk away on her own. God, we've done the same thing to you. We've turned our backs on you, individually and as a nation, and we're paying the price. God, forgive us for only running to you when we're in trouble and when we need something. God, help us. We treat you like a spare tire in the trunk of our car. And only when we have a blowout, we remember God. God, I pray you'd help us open our eyes. Help us to see our utter dependence upon you. Turn our hearts back to you. Turn our families back to you. God, turn our churches back to you. Our churches are, so many of them are just living in silent apostasy. Turn our nation back to you. We sing, God bless America, but what right do we have to ask that after all we've done? I pray instead you would change our prayer to say, God, may we bless you, and then you bless America. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Of my heart.